What's up, what's up? It's your boy Cam Meekins. This is the Cam Meekins Show. Got a couple very special guests today, my good friends. Juan Pedrosa, Steven Devine from Bar Salita Restaurant on Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Am I getting this right so far?
Correct.
So
Weir's Beach.
So to give the listeners a little bit of background, the two of you guys are getting together. It's prime COVID time, mid COVID, like end of, I don't know, 2020 or so. And you both have restaurant backgrounds. You come together and say, in the worst time in the last 100 years in the restaurant business, let's get together and start our own restaurant. So let's start from there. What was the conversation the two of you guys had to start on this journey?
I would imagine that's kind of really how it came together. You know, we were in a predicament where we just started to say, hey, is it ready? Are we ready to do something? Are we ready to jump out there and give something a shot? We had like messed around with the idea of going to New Hampshire and just doing like a small sub shop. And we went up in November of 2020. And by January of 2021, we had completely removed that idea. And we were getting ready to sign a lease for a full service restaurant.
And so did it, was it like an aha moment where you were just in love with the area, or what made you take the leap? I mean, you guys must just inherently be risk takers because you're creatives in the restaurant space, but what made you feel confident in that choice? Was it something that happened when you were up there in New Hampshire checking out the area?
Yeah, we were checking out that sub shop because a friend of ours who's also an investor in the restaurant, he was like, you know, talking, he's friends with Juan. And was just like, dude, you got to open a shop up here because the food sucks around here. And I want something. He owns a local business. He's like, I want something good to eat while I'm up here. And they kind of just joked around about that, you know, not really thinking that Juan would ever actually do it. And then I think COVID just kind of was a catalyst for everything, where it wasn't really, you know, if you on paper, it's not the best time to start a restaurant, but it ended up working out for us. And so we went up there to check out a sub shop, like you said, by the guy's business. And then it was okay. We were basically set on doing it. And then they were like, well, why don't we show you this other space that we got, which was right around the corner, which is the spot that we have now. We saw that. We saw like this old garage that we ended up converting into the bar, and we saw this whole space, and that's when everybody's wheels got turning. So that was the aha moment right there. You know, the sub shop was like, yeah, whatever, we'll just do a sub shop and do it. But then we saw this space which eventually turned into Bar Salita, and that's like what really like got everybody excited and what really kicked things off.
Mm.
Right. And I would add that, the sub shop, the space, the storefront there is on the pier. So we were on the pier and we were like, all right, we'll do fine. But we ended up turning the corner back onto the main boulevard and walking up to the space where we currently are. And that was more of, you know, you could see the space. We're in this really old building, tons of lawn space. So just at first sight, you're like, that could be something really fun and unique. And kind of the whole way up till we got to the space, we were kind of saying the same exact thing. The visibility was great. The chance of jumping in there and doing an outdoor space was kind of what got the ideas rolling.
Yeah, and I guess outdoor space in this time is like the thing that brings it all together, right?
Right. It made sense. I mean, in that time, in November, I mean, people were just toying with the idea of, you know, eating outdoors if you could, right? And now it's like second nature here. You know, people are getting their like igloos ready, to have dining. So I kind of joked around. I was like, man, people are willing to eat on a snowbank right now.
Right.
You know, just having seen what we had seen after coming out of lockdown. So, you know, there was a lot of risk, and Steve and I both had established careers. But I think the thought was, look at what's going on around us now, right? It's, we can accomplish and create something really cool that's kind of echoing the trend right now. And that's ultimately what led us to jump on the opportunity.
Yeah, it's funny how there's often opportunities in really challenging times for new right. ideas, right? It's the established businesses that have a tough time adjusting to the changing environment that COVID presented for the restaurant industry. But to start something new, you maybe have an opportunity to say, okay, how do we get creative and do this in a way that works, you know, leverage the outdoor dining, et cetera. So walk me back a little bit. What was it like? I mean, I love talking to people in the food restaurant world, because I think there's a ton of crossover between music and food. And Juan, you and I have talked about this a lot personally. So walk me back a little bit as to how both of you came into this career, really. And maybe Juan, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've known each other for quite a while now. And previous to that, you know, I was already, I want to say, like 9, almost 10 years into the restaurant industry. You know, I got my start pretty young, out of high school. And even before that, you know, I go as far back as like the small local pizza joint that I used to frequent as a kid, you know, where I spent afternoons after school kind of just helping out, doing odd jobs, and then eventually rolling into something that was more of a profession, working in a real restaurant, in a real kitchen, with a real schedule, real responsibilities, right? And I think for me, I gravitated towards that because as a kid, you know, I didn't like to be punctual. I didn't like responsibility. I didn't like being told what to do. And all of a sudden, you know, all those qualities that I lack, they're being asked of me in a professional environment. And I knew if I worked hard and I showed up and if I was punctual and responsible, then it would pay off. Right. And it has, you know, the restaurant industry is a difficult, difficult industry to be in, you know, and I'm sure Steve will tell you, but I've been in it for so long. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And I think it's, in my experience, just taking, hey, I want to make this a career. I want to make this a profession. I want to grow into it. And then I also want to change it, right? To have some influence in it. And that's kind of going through the chain of command and all the restaurants that I've worked with, in the city of Boston. You know, I've worked for a lot of great folks. And in that time, you start to envision, hey, if I owned a restaurant, or if I had my own record label, if I had my own business, what would I take from what I've learned and what would I add to it, right? And that's kind of what we're seeing with Bar Solita. So it's a beautiful story. I've spent a lot of time in the industry, and now I'm at the point in my life where I say, hey, how can I take what I've learned and how can I take what I want to implement in my own business and create something that echoes who I am and Steve and I's personal philosophy.
Totally. So Steve, what about you? How did you get into this world?
Yeah, I mean, there was a health food store down the street from my house. It was like a really crappy health food store. And I wanted a job. I was like 15. I got like my working permit and I was like, I just want a job so I can get like new shoes. You know, I have to ask my mom for money for new shoes. And I went in there. I wanted to just work the counter. And the guy was like, you know, you're 15. You can't really work the counter. I don't trust you on the register, but you could like wash the dishes. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. So I did that for like 3 months and then quit because it sucked. And then I just kind of didn't work in restaurants for a while. And then Juan got me a job like waitering at the place that he waited at, like an old folks home, wore like tuxedos and stuff like that and just served rich old people. And yeah, since then, that was in high school. You know, I'd worked in, you know, as a server or a bartender on and off until, you know, 2020. Then I got laid off from my bartending job. I was already working in like financial services at that time. So I was kind of just doing bartending as a way to make a little extra money, but I never managed a restaurant, never managed a team. I'm like the last person on paper that you would think like, oh, this person should, you know, take my money and use it to open up his own restaurant. You know what I mean? But I just knew we could do it. I knew at the scale and the capacity that we did it at. And with both of our, you know, we have common sense. We have enough restaurant experience between us. Juan obviously has a lot more managerial experience and a lot more like building out restaurant experience. I just think a lot of it is common sense and just, you know, being like a little maybe overly, what is it, like naive, you know, thinking that you can do something.
Mm. Yeah, willing to take that leap, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, like I don't think I ever would have just up and left my job and, you know, the security that I had, you know, with, you know, all the benefits and stock options and this and that and yada, yada of a, you know, like a 9-to-5 job. If, you know, I wasn't stuck in my bedroom at this desk right here, just like every day working from home, just like wanting to go crazy, you know? Yeah. So mom was just like, dude, you want to open a restaurant? And I was just like, I'll do anything other than what I'm doing right now. And that's, you know, then I like freaked out being like, what the hell? I'm not opening up a restaurant. That's crazy. I'm not doing that. I got this, I got that. I got my 401k, I got this and whatever. And there's probably like 3 or 4 times I'm calling Juan at like 1 o'clock in the morning being like, I don't know, dude, this is fucking crazy. Like, and a part of me wanted Juan to quit because I'd already said I was going to do it. So I was like, I'm not going to quit. But anytime that there was an opportunity before we opened for it to fail, you know, or to like, you know, you have your out at that point, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, you know, we could always, you know, just, I guess we could just quit or something, you know, like who knows, and kind of like leave it up to Juan to make the decision. But he's persistent. And so, you know, here we are. But I'm glad, you know, all said and done, you know, once I made the leap and once I left my job, it was like that in between period that was really nerve wracking. But once cut ties with the corporate gig and focused solely on the restaurant, it was like, it felt like the best decision I'd ever made. So,
Yeah, it's so interesting because these trends, we've been going in this direction probably in a number of different industries for a long time. And even the restaurant industry is probably moving more toward, you know, individuals with great ideas and farther away from, you know, the more kind of corporate model. And, you know, it was just fast forwarded, it seems, by COVID. And so many people, whether it's in the restaurant game or, you know, the music game or any other game, have now been forced to do an analysis of like, what do I actually care about in my life? Because this is the first time we're sitting at home by ourselves. So that's like the silver lining. But that probably, I would imagine, met with a lot of naysayers or haters saying, oh, that's not a good idea. You know, Steve, don't leave that good, stable situation. Juan, you know, and Juan's a humble guy, but to give the listeners some context, okay, like Juan is, you know, one of the top guys in Boston. When you think of restaurants, you think of Juan Pedrosa, this young chef in the city of Boston, killing it at some of the greatest restaurants, making a name for himself. And so when the two of you guys came out and said, we're going to go up to a small town in New Hampshire, open up our own place, what was the reaction from people?
Yeah, people didn't know where Laconia was on the map, you know? And like you're saying, a lot of people were surprised. You know, it's not only the professional career that we had established, you know, the 6-odd years I just spent with the company previous, the 5.5 years that Steve was at his financial firm, you know, it's our life here that, you know, we have established lives, we have leases, we have significant others, we have pets, we have friends. I mean, our entire support network, our backbone that make Steve and make myself up. I mean, we were just leaving them and going north. And a lot of people were surprised. But two, I would add that maybe it wasn't as much as a surprise. Steve and I have been friends for a long time. We've always done risky stuff. You know, we could do it alone, but I think the fact that there was a partnership made it easier to make that jump. I knew going to New Hampshire and being near Steve was going to give me a sense of security. And I also knew that we had something to prove to everyone that was like, well, these guys are going north and, you know, they're leaving their jobs behind and they're trying to open a restaurant in a few months and Juan's got to go build it, you know, and Steve's never managed. Yeah, I mean, there were nights where you start to kind of rattle that stuff in your head and you're like, yeah, I haven't managed a restaurant. You know, I don't know the first conversation to have with the Secretary of the State. You know, I don't know where I get, you know, general liability insurance from, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was scary, but I think doing it as a partnership made it gave a little bit more push for us to venture off.
Totally. Totally. Well, and it sounds like from what you were saying, Steve, both of you were trying to not call each other's bluff on giving up. And so that kept you going, it sounds like, too, through the initial phase.
I think Juan was more dead set on it. You know, once he made that decision, he cut ties with, you know, or he put in his notice at his company a lot earlier than I did with my company. You know, I gave them plenty of notice, but there's so many opportunities for you to fail before you open. We almost didn't even open, you know, the week before the restaurant. We, you know, big electrical issue almost prevented us from being, you know, able to open and get all of our inspections and shit. But no, Juan was, to me, it seemed like, I'm sure he had doubts and shit like that, but Juan was pretty dead set on it. I was the one who was like, or at least it feels like to me, you know, I was the one like just second guessing myself the whole way. But I'm glad, you know, I knew why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. And I knew, you know, the period that I'm at in my life, it makes sense to feel this way, but it doesn't help you. Like all the rationality and all that shit, like telling yourself, it didn't help me, you know, it, like I just had to go through it, push myself to do it, drag myself to do it. And then, you know, late night calls with Juan, you know, talking me off a ledge, basically.
Totally.
But, yeah.
Yes. It seems like it was a business decision, obviously, first and foremost, and you're starting off in this new venture, but from vicariously living through you guys on social media, seeing the process, it seemed like a spiritual journey for the two of you guys too, in a way. You know, you're out there, you're building this thing from scratch with your own hands. And so talk to me a little bit about the personal aspects of it and where you both were personally and how this transition maybe changed your perspective, or, you know, kind of why you dove headfirst into this path and launching the restaurant. I just get the sense that it was more than this is a great business idea. It feels like you guys really lived this and created a new lifestyle for yourselves. And on the outside looking in, it seems like that came from getting more in tune with what's really important to you, but I'm just making assumptions. So what was that process like for the two of you? I just threw a lot at you there. So
no, I know. I mean, Steve and I, there's a lot because we're doing this together. You know, there's a lot of correlation between, you know, how he feels and how I feel. But ultimately for me, I think it was the challenge. You know, I've been in this particular industry for so long, and I've been a part of restaurant openings, and I've seen the ins and outs. You know, opening a restaurant is by far the hardest component of you know, making it happen. There's so much production that goes on months before anyone can sit in your restaurant. And having the knowledge and, you know, being a fly on the wall for a lot of those conversations and seeing the world move around you in an environment that I enjoy, I found it to be a challenge, and one that I wanted to, you know, face head on. You know, COVID put a lot of things into perspective. I think we were all as individuals calling everyone, you know, near and far to make sure that everyone was doing well, right? And I think towards the end of lockdown, I realized that I had spent so much time and energy focusing on everybody else and everyone else's well-being. I mean, because that's just the person I am. But I turned around and at the end of it felt like, you know, I hadn't done enough for me through that time. You know, there's the mental, there's the emotional, there's the physical. And I was going through all of it. You know, it was hard. I was going through everything. I'd just given up drinking. So for me, it was a real change, and to be, you know, to strip yourself of that as a person and go through something as heavy as a pandemic and then challenge yourself on a whole nother scale. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was still feeling ambitious, that I was still feeling like I could still face that challenge. Right. So once we knew we were going to New Hampshire, it was not a question or a matter of, you know, are we going to make this? It's we're going to do it, right? And we're going to open and prove to ourselves and everybody else that, hey, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You know, if you want to chase that dream, that you kind of have to risk everything else around you, right? So that's my perspective. And, you know, I'm sure Steve has more to add.
Yeah. What was the question again?
I mean, it was an open-ended kind of, rant of a statement, but basically, you know, I noticed that, and Steve, granted, I didn't have a personal relationship with you prior to, the restaurant, but, you know, from seeing through Juan's story and seeing through the restaurant's Instagram posts and everything, this seemed like, for the two of you, this journey and transition from more of a traditional path to a non-traditional path, and yeah, one where you're going your own way. And kind of curious how that kind of that personal change, you know, where'd that come from for you?
Yeah, I think it's like a necessity, as much as how crazy and how risky it is to run a business and try to start something on your own. I'm the kind of person who's like, I don't know, for lack of a better way to put it. I don't know. I just like to do things my own way. You know, I know eventually I'll get fired from any 9-to-5 job that I have just because I don't fit. You know what I mean? I'm just not made for it. That kind of structure. I don't care to pretend like I'm a certain way or talk a certain way or give a shit about certain things that I don't care about. You know what I mean? And I think that doesn't work, and that, you know, you need to be able to pretend at least like you care about what you're doing and I think that's, you know, sadly, a lot of what you see is people pretending like they care what they're doing. I worked for a great company. It was an awesome company. Like they treated us well, great, everything and great reputation, but it's just like, I don't care. You know what I mean? That's not what I want to do with my life. It's not really what I'm passionate about. It's not really what, you know, it's hard to wake up. It's hard to run a restaurant. You have so many different things. You know, there's the administrative part, there's the service part, there's the labor part, and they're always just being like shaken up by just the nature of the chaotic kind of industry that it is. It's hard, but I never felt the amount of contempt that I had for my 9-to-5 job ever running a restaurant. And it's way easier to do my 9-to-5 job, you know, but because I didn't care about what I was doing, like any sort of mild inconvenience felt like something astronomical, you know, just because why am I doing this in the first place? I don't want to be here. This is not what I want to do. Like, so when you're met with like a lot of really, really challenging issues in a restaurant, it just is like, okay, what do we got to do? We got to figure this out. What's the solution here? And you just get it done. And you don't sit around and think about what excuse I could make for why I didn't respond to your email quick enough or this and that. You just get the shit done and then you move on from it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally.
I don't really know what, you know. So for me, it was just like, I didn't want to do 9-to-5 stuff for the rest of my life. And this was a great opportunity to kind of, you know, not do that. I always wanted to start my own business, and I'd always had like little mini, like not legit businesses, but this was, you know, my first opportunity to really dive head on into a business. And I think it worked out perfectly that I had a partner, you know, who, you know, being in a partnership, it makes things, there's a challenge to it because there's two people and you have to compromise and you have to move in a similar direction. I think we just naturally are in line with a lot of things, so that helps. But, you know, for me, I need a partner to kind of, you know, help steer the ship or help motivate you or help do whatever, help keep you accountable for what you're supposed to be doing. So it kind of just worked out very well for me.
Totally. It's yeah. It's funny. Yeah, go ahead, Juan.
No, we just Steve, listen to Steve talk, you know, these are all things I don't even think we have really talked, and we talk all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we've really have sat and had that conversation of like, what the fuck did we do in 2021? We opened a restaurant, you know, and we haven't gone into it as deep. I mean, we spent every waking hour up there together in some capacity, you know? And, we had to kind of strip, you know, my personality, Steve's personality, and we had to at some point kind of come together and say, you know, this isn't about egos. It's about everything that we just left back in Boston, you know, and create, you know, sticking to our word here, right? So we can't argue today, you know, we can't argue tomorrow, we can't argue next week. Why? Because we're living in the fucking same place. You know, we have air mattresses, you know, on floors, no kitchen table, no chairs, you know, it quickly became like a cold world, you know, but I have to imagine that is the reality of, you know, stepping out and venturing to do your own thing. I mean, there's a reason why. You know, it's really a life altering event when you kind of go through this, because you you learn about yourself, your partner, and, you know, the challenges, and it's all about how you face them, right? Yeah, I just got thinking about that.
And that's why I love having these conversations, especially with people like you guys. I mean, look, 99.9% of your day is focused on the task at hand of that day. You don't have time necessarily to reflect when you're running a restaurant. I mean, when I hear you guys talk about it, it sounds like you're putting on a production of a musical, and you got 30 days till, you know, you open the show, and then you open the show, opening night of the restaurant, and you're running that musical every single fucking night, back to back to back to back to back. You got a matinee on, you know, like it's a full on commitment, full lifestyle every single day.
Right. And it's like, you think you know what you're doing. You know, Juan and I have plenty of experience. Juan has plenty of experiences opening a restaurant and shit like that. But you'd be surprised, like every month or something, you're like, oh, this is a thing I got to worry about. You know, I got to worry about unemployment insurance, workers' compensation, fucking sales taxes, and setting up all these accounts with the state. You know, it's, you know, there's, you know, so there's just, there's a plethora of things that are just like, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. Mind you, we decided to go to a completely different state.
Yeah, right. You know? Learn a whole new set of laws. And yeah, right, right. Although, right, granted, New Hampshire doesn't have very many laws, so that's good.
Which,
dude, every state, New Hampshire is easy to do business in compared to Massachusetts, but every state, you know, sure, has their own bullshit that makes no sense. And then you're like, well, in Massachusetts, it's easier to do this. And it's like, yeah, well, who knows? It's they have a lot of annoying shit in New Hampshire as well, but it's a lot more business friendly and a lot more affordable to open up. There's a lower threshold to break even for opening a restaurant, especially in the capacity that we did. And I think that is a huge reason why we wanted to do it too. I mean, are you comfortable talking about like your involvement in the restaurant?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I'm, you know, a small player in the whole thing as an investor. I mean, I know Juan from a long time ago. We've been good friends for a long time. And when I heard you guys were going on this journey, I wanted to do anything I could to help, whether it was, you know, adding, you know, some investment, bringing you guys on the podcast, getting the story out there through my small platform, anything I could do. I just believe in, you know, I've always believed in Juan's vision, and, you know, and through him, now your vision, Steve. I have just been extremely impressed with the execution and, you know, the attention to detail and just getting it done, you know?
You know, you asked us like what made us during this crazy time, you know, probably on paper, the worst time to open a restaurant, what made us want to do it? What made you think to invest in the restaurant? Was it just your personal relationship with Juan and knowing him throughout
the
years?
So, yeah, it's a good question, man. I mean, you know, it's not something I've like fully done a deep dive on the podcast for the listeners, but I think it's I want to start talking about it more because, you know, obviously a lot of the listeners know me from the music background and this and that too, but as I've grown in the music stuff, I've started to have my hand in different businesses with Stone and Skillet English Muffins and Slate Chocolate Milk and a couple other investments that I've made. And so I'm, you know, kind of running this micro VC thing in addition to the music. And my philosophy, honestly, from an investment standpoint is, and I think this stems from my background being different than the traditional kind of investor person, is, you know, it's about the validity of the idea and the strength behind the idea and the willingness from the people who are going out there to execute on it. And I knew that the two of you had no backup plan, and that's the best thing in the world, right? And so if I get involved and partner with you guys and I'm an investor and I come in, or some other investor comes in, now we're all a part of this ship. And for the two of you, it can't sink. Right. And those are the best type of business, you know, ventures to go on, are the ones where it's the people depend on it. you know, and they really live it. And for me, that was me in my music career. It was me. And I feel like, you know, for you guys, this restaurant has become a part of your identity, you know, and I don't mean to say that in a bad way. I think that's just the passion behind it. And so I saw that, and I already knew that was Juan's headspace, knowing him personally. But that, I think, was the biggest thing, more so than the projections or, you know, a deck or whatever you can look at to analyze an investment. It's really about whether or not the people running Point are going to execute on it and pivot when they need to, deal with the problems, because nobody knows what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, and we've always talked about it, Cam, and I think that's why we have, you know, why we've just been friends for so long. I've seen you in your career, and I remember early on when I met you, I feel like I reached out to Steve and told him. It was almost natural, and I think people in kind of in our headspace just attract anyways. It's easier to have a conversation, you know. I'm an outgoing person, but I'm not the first person to, you know, strike a conversation. I just don't have that in me. So it when it came naturally to you and I, it kind of made sense, you know. It wasn't so much me going to Cam to ask, you know, if he wanted to invest, because before I opened my mouth, you were like, dude, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, I wanted to be attached to it, man. You know, yeah. I wanted to support the idea, but more importantly, I knew you guys just were going to do whatever it took to get it done. And so that's, right. That's as secure of an investment as you can have. And right. A lot of people told me investing in restaurants is not a good idea.
Yeah. And then add the component where it's a seasonal restaurant,
right,
in New Hampshire,
right,
that's completely outdoors. You know what I mean? So we're going against all the odds. Cam, you know, your brand and what you've been able to do with Lamp City and your music and the folks who follow you, I think you can attest to, you know, you've been able to create your persona off of, you know, the things that make you, you, right? And that stuff is contagious, right? That's the beautiful stuff that when you're working 9 to 5 for a corporate company, you know, that you don't see, because you have to work in a certain framework. When you're a chef in a kitchen, you know, preparing someone else's food, you're going to treat that, you know, like it's your own, but it's not your own, you know. And for a chef, for someone with that background, it's all about getting out past that and showcasing your ability. For me, it's because I just have that natural drive of being a leader, right? Of bringing teams together. I will never say that I am the best anything, but I'm that guy that can sit in a room and take it all in, you know, and then step out and tell you how the 12 people in that room are feeling or reacting. You know, I absorb a lot of information, and the beauty about hospitality, it's all real time. You know, you're having a bad time, well, it's all about me coming and hitting that table and just like spreading a little bit of excitement and just minimizing any sort of bad experience. And, you know, that was a big challenge for us throughout the summer as we kind of fell into our roles. But, you know, Barcelita and our branding has always been about who we are as individuals and our collective motto, you know?
Totally.
And we're pretty easy dudes. So if you're not having a good time at our restaurant, it's not because, you know, we're doing anything that we shouldn't, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, something you said, man, I mean, I feel the common denominator between the three of us is this need within us to do it our way, you know, and to your point with what I've been trying to build with the Lamp City brand, you know, it's similar to what you guys are doing with Bar Salida, and that's the common denominator because it's the non-traditional path. You know, I was reminded when you were saying that the two of you guys were, you know, sleeping on an air mattress, figuring out how to like coexist basically 24/7 in the days of starting this thing up and getting it off the ground. It reminded me of when me and my friend Maddie Harris, who, you know, used to go by Maddie Trump, who you remember, Juan, he and I moved to LA in 2011 and were trying to sign this deal with Atlantic Records and eventually signed it. And we were on, you know, the top of the world in terms of how we felt, but we were living in this tiny little apartment, me, him, and Dan, right? Mm-hmm. The three of us, and sleeping on air mattresses, going to Subway, splitting a $5 foot long between the three of us, going to the studio, making music. And at the time it didn't feel good. And so this is the important distinction is these moments, they don't have to be happy moments. They don't have to feel good for them to actually be so important and in the long run, such a positive thing, right? And so a lot of times I think people who want to maybe chart this entrepreneurial path, but they have reservations, it's because they're worried about the negatives. And, you know, you kind of have to realize sometimes that you're not going to be happy all the time. And that's the beauty in this journey is it's really a more fulfilling journey and a more all-encompassing emotional process that gets you comfortable in the negatives, the positives, etc. So,
yeah, you think that, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't you think that makes it also harder to like relish in your accomplishments because of, you know, I feel like, you know, there are certain milestones you hit, whether you're an artist or whether you're in business or whatever, you know, that maybe the average person would look at and say, wow, you must feel really satisfied or happy because of that. But knowing the amount of sacrifice and pain and struggle that it took to get there, it almost feels like, in a way, it feels like, well, I kind of expect this to happen with all the work that I've done, but it almost seems like, you know, it's harder to, for me at least, to enjoy our accomplishments. Not that I don't have any contempt for them. I know I should be happy, but I'm not like over the moon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to get to that excited stage because you also know that like something crazy is right around the corner too. So, you know, you might as well like, you know, pump the brakes, don't get too excited because something's going to come up. But do you ever feel that like whatever accomplishment that maybe before you were in like as involved in the music industry, like you hit certain accomplishments and they didn't seem as crazy once you hit them?
Without a doubt. I feel like across the board at any stage in my career, and I got an early start starting putting music on YouTube when I was pretty much in high school. And I think you could kind of pick any point in my career and say, you know, to my younger self, hey, at that point, you're going to be doing X, Y, and Z. The younger self would be like, oh shit, that's incredible. Like, this is what I'm working towards. But when you're there in the moment, it's, you know, there are times where, of course, you appreciate things. And I'm trying to get better at that as I've gotten older, is realizing that there's stuff to appreciate, but it doesn't feel great. You're just focused on the next thing. And maybe that's not a good thing, you know, I don't know, but it seems that people who operate in this way, you know, why does Jeff Bezos still go to work every day? You know, why, and that's like the extreme, but like taking it, you know, to a smaller degree, like why does, you know, somebody who's already, you know, had 10 successful albums want to make the 11th one? Because it's not about the achievement. It's about the process is what like brings them fulfillment.
Right.
in life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. I mean, when we finally opened the restaurant, you know, and we were all, it's something I never like had really told Steve. I was, you know, I think we talked about it, but taking a step back and looking at where we were in the fucking process, we were like, there's no way we're going to hit Memorial Day. You know, so there was just certain events happening up there that kind of steered us in the next decision that we had to make in order for the restaurant to make sure that we were going to open it, right? So we had a June, like 20th date set to open the restaurant. And when we got up there and we were going through it, you know, a lot of people were like, well, you're not open for Memorial Day weekend, you know? And in your head, you're like, dude, how can I do it? You know, I just can't. So we're already working 14-hour days, you know? Now you're like, the only way I can do this is if I add more time to that day that I'm working, right? If you start reaching out to all your resources, all your friends, all those folks that ever said, let me know when you need help, you know? You just go through your phone and you start calling them. You're like, you know, I need help. I won't forget the time we had to put the ceiling in the bar space. And that was, it took us like 4.5 days, me and another guy, Chris, who was helping us out. And, you know, but Chris was only working, you know, a particular shift, and then he would leave. So then I would have to stick through the night, you know, and just work and try and get as much as I could done. Cause I knew if we didn't finish the ceiling, we couldn't do the walls and then essentially everything else that needed to happen. I mean, dude, after 4.5 days of just like 15-hour days, I like had my own, like, I just started bursting into tears in that bar. Cause I was just like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? You know, I shouldn't be doing this. But it's again, you know, your mind really starts to challenge you in every possible scenario. You know, you're not eating well, you know, you're not drinking, so you have no outlet. You're not exercising. The project is the only thing occupying your space. So I remember not ever really feeling like there was any gratitude, and when we would finish the ceiling, it was just on to the next thing, you know. Yep. And then someone would come in and look at the ceiling and they'd be like, wow, that's beautiful. And I wanted to say, you know, get the fuck out of here, I gotta keep moving. But what you have to say is, thank you so much, we can't wait to have you, right? And when we finally did open, and through the summer, you know, we made that place feel like we had been there forever. So that more than anything, I think, was the goal, to create something that felt like you were missing it, even though you didn't know you were, right?
Totally.
You know what's good about any experience? I feel like, you know, you could go to France and see all the sites and you can go to wherever. But like, if you don't have personal experiences with people there, it just doesn't make the trip fun. You know, the same thing with this. That's when I'm sitting thinking about what I enjoyed the most or whatever. It was like the relationships with people that you would have never had a relationship with, you know, whether it was our staff or the people in the community that, you know, were kind of like nestled in this little neighborhood there, you know, people like you and the other investors and just other people that are involved with the project. That's cool. That, like, that's something that you're like, okay, that's like, that's nice. You know, that's like, that's what I think is like maybe the most beneficial. And that's probably like part of the reason why I wanted to continue doing it too, because there are people involved with the project, you know, other investors, and they're like big successful entrepreneurs. And I was like, this is an opportunity for me to be in a league with them to some extent, you know, work on a project with them. And normally, you know, if you're talking like the corporate ladder, there's so many rungs above me. I wouldn't even, you know, I'd have to go through a manager to talk to them or something like that. Now we're just talking on the phone together. We're working together, you know, so that was cool.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really great thing for people who are considering an entrepreneurial path to understand about the two of you story. And let me know if you're getting weird feedback through my microphone.
For a second I did, but now you're good.
Okay. Yeah, that notion that you need to have it all figured out is not true. And you dive in and you figure it out as you go. The workers' comp and, you know, the liability insurance and, you know, all these hurdles that you probably had no idea about when you started the business. You don't need to have the full plan figured out. You just have to have the willingness to adjust and the understanding that things are going to come up. And you kind of give yourself that headroom to have the space to deal with it. But don't let that stop you from diving in. And you're right. It's an opportunity to propel yourself to a level that if you were taking the traditional path, may not even be ever attainable at all, because you're just competing against a whole number of people in this kind of race that's irrelevant. And at the end of the day, you know, all of it is meaningless. You know, you can be on that level if you choose to be on that level, you know?
Right.
And you guys kind of took that leap and executed on it, and so now you're here. So no, it's a really great thing, I think, for young people who may be listening to this and thinking about how to navigate that leap to here. Is yes, you want to have proper preparation, but you need to have a little bit of that wiggle room and understanding that things are going to happen that you have no idea about, and just take it in stride.
Yeah. I mean, you know, from the books I've read, the examples, the people that, because once you're in this chair, you know, you're looking for any example, any insight, any advice. You know, we're lucky that, you know, we have people, like Steve was saying, that are involved in our restaurant that have gone through those, challenges, you know. And it's you will never skip this part, you know. So you just have to admit it to yourself that there's going to be long days, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be uncomfortable conversations, but it really, I think, is what allows you to kind of build yourself up to tackle even bigger challenges, even bigger obstacles, and hopefully transition from, you know, a 6-month operation to, you know, a restaurant group that is all of a sudden thriving off of the philosophy, and, you know, not just in the business, but you know, as who we are as individuals. And if you make it out on the other side, which all it takes is just, you know, a lot of grit and determination, then, you know, you have these awesome stories and, you know, experiences that you can share with, you know, your best friend and counterparts for ever, you know?
Totally. So what are you guys most excited for going forward with Bar Salida?
Well, you know, we're big into understanding the business. So now we have, you know, a great first season that we can make those adjustments and continue to scale the business. We're working on branding, which is big to me. I would love to grow Bar Salida outside of a restaurant, you know, as, and you and I have talked about it as a meaningful brand, you know, not to say that it needs to live in a restaurant setting. You know, our motto that we toyed around with all summer was live life bueno, you know? So, yeah. And if you just translate bueno, the way I kind of conjured it up was live life well, or live life great, or live it good, you know? And so trying to continue to build that message, in all aspects. We're excited to get up there and add more counterparts to our restaurant that will allow us to maximize our effort. You know, we're already there, right? So now how do we add things, components to it to make sure that we are maximizing our time up there? Because it's, you know, it's a short window. I call it a pilot restaurant, you know, like a elevator pitch or a trailer to a movie or a mixtape, you know. Mm-hmm. I look at this restaurant as something that we get to do for 6 months out of the year. And in that time, we get to try new things and in hopes that, you know, it's a viable concept long-term, right? If we're not... If we don't make it to the metaverse first,
I could open one in the metaverse. Oh shit! What about you, Steve? What are you most excited for next up?
I'm excited to see some people that we haven't seen in a while. Business wise, I'm excited to like Juan said, learn from our mistakes and what we did wrong and what we did well. Kind of refine our craft, do better, make more money. You know, not that I want it. Money's not the main motivating factor for me, but it is always good. You know, it's one way to see your progress on paper or on a screen. A couple of numbers that are bigger than they were last year. It just shows growth and shows progress, and that feels good. So, you know, the money isn't, I don't care about money in, you know, overly, but I do enjoy growth and feeling like you are doing better than you did previously. So I feel like that's a good indicator there. Yeah, that's it, man. You know, I try to keep my focus like narrow, and so I can just sort of hammer away at the goals. But yeah, that's what I'm excited for.
We also want to, you know, collectively continue to grow our assets, you know, Cam, like you and your music and your platform and being involved with us, you know, we're seeing that, you know, our resources will go further if we kind of diversify. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a restaurant guy, you know, and Steve's a finance guy, but we can live under the umbrella of doing different projects, you know, and the more we set Barcelita up to run and operate like a real, thriving concept, then it allows Steve and I to jump into, you know, shift gears and jump into something else without forgetting kind of where it all started, you know, and then growing either another business or jumping into real estate or, you know, trying another hospitality concept, or again, going year round, because there's a lot of challenges in the seasonal capacity, but just looking to add to the portfolio.
Totally, it's fun talking to you guys and being connected and being a part of the business, and just having the visual into what you guys are doing, because I think, you know, there's a lot of great restaurant groups out there. Two guys, partners, you know, out here on the West Coast, John and Vinny's, you know, these guys have Animal and John and Vinny's, all these great restaurants. And you see these examples of two partners making it happen in the hospitality industry. And I just know that, you know, you guys are going to figure it out. And however big and great you want this to be, it can be that. It's, you know, it's up to you guys. And it's cool to see that process and just, you know, it's just fun to, again, have like a helicopter view on it and to have these conversations with you guys. I'm sure we'll come back and do this again in a year, in 2 years, and to be able to watch that growth is going to be really exciting. So, I just appreciate both of you coming on and being willing to kind of go deep on this stuff. I know you have a lot to think about on the day to day and maybe don't always get the chance to kind of take a look back like this. So hope you guys had fun doing it. I really, really, enjoyed the combo.
Yeah, this is great, man. I appreciate it. And it's good to just get it out there. You know, hopefully, if there's ever a doubt in someone that's listening, you know, that there's never going to be a perfect time, right, to just jump out and do it. What you can't do is continue to kind of hide in the shadows, right? Because you'll just never know what you can amount to, right? And we're still learning that ourselves.
Well said. Yeah. I completely agree, man. And again, proud of you guys for doing what you do and keep setting a good example for everybody out there. If you're in the New Hampshire, Boston area, head up to Weir's Beach, check these guys out in the summer. Social media, is it Bar Salida on social media?
Yeah, Bar Salida Weir's.
Bar Salida Weir's.
Weir's.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Well, cool. Shit, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for coming on. It's the Cam Meekin Show. We out of here. Peace.